Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is Simon Hartley. How are you today, Simon?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's great to have you here in a podcast. And for our audience, Simon is a globally respected sports psychology consultant and performance coach. For over 20 years, Simon has worked with gold medalists, world record holders, world champions, top 5 world-ranked professional athletes, Olympians, and championship-winning teams. He is also an author, and he has joined us today to talk a bit about what he has going on, his books, and we are very much looking forward to talking to him. So once again, thank you for joining us today, Simon.
My pleasure.
And the first question is the one I ask to anyone that comes on the podcast, and that is, what actually inspired you to become an author?
Yeah, it's I guess it's really simple. For many, many years, I've been following my curiosity. And whenever I follow my curiosity, I tend to find that I uncover some insights. Sometimes those insights are really valuable. They're valuable for myself. And therefore, I sort of think I ought to share these. You know, maybe they'll be valuable for other people too. It all started many, many years ago when I was working with groups of athletes. I would notice there were some athletes who were capable of consistently pitching a performance which was within a couple of percent of their very best. And I used to be curious and wonder, you know, how do they do that? How are they capable of always producing their best performance or very close to their best? And I started to understand that there were some ingredients that they had, some things that they did which the other athletes didn't. And when I started to package that into a method, I thought, you know, here's something that not just other athletes or sports coaches would find useful, but business leaders would find useful, business coaches would find useful, teachers would find useful. In fact, let's just share this in a way that everybody can access it. And that's really been kind of rolling on for many, many years. It was the same when I spent quite a bit of time working with and studying world-class performers, not just in sport, but across all sorts of fields, from chefs to baristas to mountaineers and polar explorers and elite special forces operatives. And I started to understand that there were some characteristics that defined and characterized and differentiated world-class performers across the board. And again, I just wanted to share those with people so that they could gain value as well. So that's really the simple reason that I became an author. That was really my inspiration, and it's what continues to inspire me to write.
Yeah, and of course, you have over 20 years of experience in the field, and I would like to focus a bit on something that you mentioned in the beginning, and that is the psychology. And can you perhaps share with us, in your opinion, what are the defining traits of a champion or a leader?
Yeah, when I looked at world-class teams, and I spent many, many years researching and spending time with and working with world-class teams, again, in all sorts of fields, some in sport, but a lot that weren't in sport. And when I found world-class teams, I also found world-class leaders. And I started to understand that there are some key characteristics that differentiate world-class leaders. Again, it doesn't really matter what field they're in. I worked with sports teams, racing yacht crews, the Red Arrows, looked at what Red Arrows team leaders, elite special forces units, Michelin star kitchens, all sorts of things. And I found there were these 5 keys to world-class leadership. The first one is that there's real depth of leadership. It's not just that one person is the leader. They actually create a team of leaders. The second is that they envision their purpose, but they also embody it. They live and breathe their purpose every day. And particularly in difficult situations where it's often easy to compromise living your purpose. The third is that they lead through influence, not direction or instruction, but they influence the people around them so that others choose to follow them. The fourth one is that they enable great performance in others. So yes, they do perform well themselves, but they actually enable and allow other people to perform at their best. And that the fifth is that they continually make great decisions because they understand the process behind great decision making. So those really for me are the five key characteristics of world-class leaders and world-class leadership.
Great. And I'd like to focus a bit on the sports psychology itself. And are there any principles that you've picked up from well-performing athletes and sports professionals that everyday managers can actually apply today, starting perhaps tomorrow in their everyday job?
Yeah. But one of the realizations that I came to fairly early, actually, when I was working in sports psychology, is that sports psychology is a bit of a misnomer, really. I started to understand that actually sports psychology is human psychology. It's human performance psychology. It's not clinical psychology or educational psychology, but it's human performance psychology. And over the years, I've started to understand that there are some methods and approaches that are very useful, but that actually the key things that define successful people are characteristics. They're elements of our character. Things like determination and persistence and resilience and courage and tenacity, all of those things there. In fact, when I talk to athletes often, I call this the stuff that really matters. So my focus, and actually my focus when we deliver the World Class Leadership 2018 conference in February, my focus is on how leaders can develop characteristics in themselves and in their people that allow them to take on challenges that probably are unpredictable, that take them into uncertainty. Because, you know, it's not particularly skills or knowledge, it's character that allows us to do all of those things. So I spend much of my time working with people on how they develop their character and how they develop character in others, deliberately develop character in others.
Right. And can you perhaps share with us what has been the most challenging part when it comes to coaching individuals in the field of sports, considering it is something so widespread and there are so many different types of sports and different types of disciplines within the fields?
Yeah, the key challenge is often, it sounds daft, but it's the key challenge is to keep it simple. It's to just stick to the simple job and not get wrapped up in the emotion of whatever's going on around you. And it sounds easy, but it's not particularly easy to do. So, for example, if I work in a sport like cricket, the batsman's job is very simple. They've just got to watch the ball and play the ball. One ball at a time, ball after ball after ball, probably for many hours on end if they're doing well. And it's a really simple job, but it's not easy to stick to the simple job. On lots of occasions, emotions get in the way, or people try and overcomplicate it, or instead of just sticking to a nice simple process, they try and engineer an outcome. And all of those things actually pull us away from doing the simple job. There are all sorts of reasons why, and usually those reasons are very, very personal. When I was working with a quarterback in the NFL, he was throwing a lot of passes that he knew he shouldn't have thrown. He was getting picked off and intercepted, and it was costing the team quite dearly. And he knew he shouldn't be making the pass. In fact, most of the time, as the ball left his fingertips, he was thinking, oh, I should never have thrown that. And we've got to kind of unlock and understand, so why are you then? And that takes us into some fairly deep territory for lots of people. You know, what stops you from doing the simple thing? How can you let go of whatever it is that's stopping you from doing the simple thing? And actually going back to our previous point, this requires us to start working on ourselves and working on our character, which is not an easy thing to do as a human either. But it's incredibly beneficial and incredibly rewarding. One of the athletes I worked with for many, many years was a swimmer. He was a breaststroke swimmer, swam for Team GB, and he was a double Olympian and Olympic finalist. He actually finished seventh fastest in history when he finished his career. And he said he was very proud of all of the achievements through swimming. He was a double Commonwealth champion and a double Commonwealth record holder as well. But the thing he was most proud of, who he became whilst he was a swimmer, and how he developed his character, how he developed as a person. And actually, when we put the two things together, in order to just do the simple thing consistently well, often that's what we have to work on. So that really is the biggest challenge when I'm working with individuals, whatever sport or, in fact, whatever profession they have to be in, sporting or non-sport.
Right. And I'd like to focus a bit on the persistence and the fact that a lot of sports professionals and, of course, leaders and managers are expected to be able to deliver results constantly. There is no downtime and they should always be sort of performing at the peak of their abilities. So yeah. My question for you, Simon, would be, can you perhaps give our listeners free tips on how they can engineer their sustainable success?
Yeah, absolutely. These are sort of three enduring principles, I guess. The first one is that you need a really genuine motivation to start with. Your reason for doing whatever you do has to be genuine, and it's a really good idea if it's founded on something internal, intrinsic inside you, rather than something external, because that means that your motivation's under your control. If, for example, your motivation is linked to an outcome or a reward or a prize or a trophy or a championship or something, that's kind of okay until either you get it or you don't. And for some people, if it's linked to something external and they keep missing it, their motivation disappears. Equally, if they're linked to some, or if their motivation's linked to something external and they get it, for some people, that means their motivation disappears. You know, if they were motivated to be an Olympic gold medal winner and one day they do win the Olympic gold and they've done it, well, what are they going to be motivated for next time?
Right.
So having genuine, intrinsic, internally driven motivation is the first principle. It means that your motivation is stable and enduring, and it doesn't depend on anything external. The second is to constantly simplify and clarify what you do, and bring yourself back to just doing the simple thing. Like I said, over time, human beings naturally tend to overcomplicate what they do. They add layer of complexity on layer of complexity. So often we need to go in and just strip away all of the complexity and bring ourselves back to doing the simple thing consistently well. From what I've seen over the years and years that I've been working, what experience tells me, is that that's got to be kind of like a constant process, almost like weeding in the garden, because our mind can become cluttered over time. And the third is that sustainable success comes when we understand that our talent alone is never enough. I work in elite sport, and we have an understanding that there are sort of three layers that we work. One is to work on the player or the athlete, and to work on the sort of mindset that they need in performance, and that's fine. But in order for that to be stable and enduring, we also need to create a really great professional, somebody who's diligent, somebody who's going to work on their own game, somebody who's self-critical. We need to work on that. So if we want to get a great player consistently, we have to get a great professional. So they're two of the three layers. But equally, if we want to have somebody who's a great professional consistently, we have to work on the person. And this is where we start working again on character. We start working on people who are grounded, who are mature, who are comfortable in their own skin. And when we get that, we tend to get consistently great professionals, and therefore people who are consistently great players or athletes. And that's that sort of model and mindset principle holds true not just for athletes, it holds true for salespeople and business leaders and lawyers and whoever else, teachers, it doesn't matter. Working on that solid person that gives us a great professional, that gives us a great athlete or surgeon or teacher or whatever, that would be the third principle.
Great, and that's some very insightful information right there. And there's one thing that you spoke about, and it kind of piqued my interest, and it's a bit of a offbeat question, so to say, but the idea of a crisis. is actually something that really came to my mind, because as you say, as we develop our personalities and our diligence, our persistence and our motivation, we often do encounter issues and problems along the way. A lot of can be perhaps outside of our control even. And I suppose my question for you, Simon, would be, how can we actually deal with a crisis, whether it is an injury that can set us back, or perhaps there is an internal issue within a team for a leader to deal with? What is the most effective way?
Yeah, and this comes back to that third principle that we just discussed. I mean, we find that working in professional sports or Olympic programs, it doesn't really make an awful lot of difference. If we've got an athlete who's probably got maybe a 20-year-long playing career, we can pretty much guarantee that something major will happen. Lots of minor stuff will happen, quite a lot of moderate stuff will happen, and even a few major things will happen over that period, because that's life. And we, knowing that that stuff will come along, we then need to know that the people that we're working with are strong and solid enough to be able to cope with that. Because, you know, whether it's that they get injured, whether it's that a family member is ill or injured, or, you know, when they have kids, one of the kids is ill, or you know, the parent gets diagnosed with cancer, or whatever it happens [S2] Right. [S1] To be, stuff will happen. We need to know that the person that we're working with is strong enough to respond well to all of those things. And that's really why we need to build person, professional and player as a solid solid base for performance, consistent, sustainable performance.
Right, and that consistency, of course, will then carry on, and we'll be able to overcome whatever comes our way. And my last question for you, Simon, is the one I ask everyone that comes on a podcast, and that is, what are you currently reading?
I'm just finishing a book. It's by a dentist, believe it or not, a guy called Dr. Paddy Lund, who's an Australian. And the book is called Building a Happiness-Centered Business. It's a really unusual take on business, but they started to put happiness before profit, and then found that profit increased when happiness increased. So, really a kind of different way of looking at business. Probably one of those business books that I've read that's had the biggest impact on me.
Great. And of course, for our listeners, if that sounds interesting, we'll put a link in the description below where you can go and check out the book yourselves. But with that, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today, Simon. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Yes. And of course, for our listeners, if you enjoyed our conversation today and you would like to know more about Simon and his work, you can always visit his website at beworldclass.com. And of course, we'll be providing links in the description below where you can go to that very website. And of course, links to Simon's books. And last but not least, absolutely, is the World Class Leadership Conference 2018, this coming February. So you will be also be able to find links in the description where you can go. You can find out more about the conference, more about Simon and the other guest speakers. And once again, I would like to thank you very much for joining us on this week's podcast of LID Radio. You can, of course, find us on our social media platforms at LID Radio. And we very much look forward to seeing you next week.